First of all, thank you so much for your love and prayers, and I also bring greetings from your church family, your brothers and sisters from the Lang Church of Christ, where I preached last Sunday. And David, you'll be disappointed, there's no motorsport content in today's sermon. Sorry. The British Broadcasting Corporation began working on a gigantic event. This event was started in the planning stages in 1966, capitalising on the capabilities of satellite technology. The BBC sought to create a global television program that would be beamed out live to the entire world. Remember, this is 1966. The Brits would partner with other broadcasters from around the globe, taking turns with live installments. The producers had two stipulations: that nothing would be pre-filmed for the broadcast, it would all be live, and there would be no appearances from politicians or statesmen. Our World, the TV program, would focus on each participating nation's technology, looking at the way of life and their culture. Four men were chosen to represent Britain by singing a song, and no one could have known that the tune would become an anthem for the summer of love. This was an inspired song because the group wrote it in a day or two, and it was for a worldwide program, and they really wanted to give the world a message. It could hardly have been a better message. The song? Does anyone remember the song?
All We Need Is Love.
All You Need Is Love. Very good. The song by the Beatles was All You Need Is Love. Some 58 years have passed since that momentous occasion, and as a 7-year-old, I can still remember watching it on a black and white TV back in Sydney. Now let's go back even further in history, some 2,000 years ago. But before we do, let me pray. Let's pray. Father God, as we look into your word today, we ask that our focus will be on your word, and that our hearts be open to what you have been, would have us to learn from this morning's talk. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you could ask one question of God and receive an answer, what would you ask? Of course, we have all things we want to know, things that we're curious about. But if you could only ask one question, what would it be? As we have heard over the past few months from the Gospel of Mark, we've heard Jesus being asked all sorts of questions from time to time. And while most of these haven't been honest questions asked out of sincere hearts, we do have the benefit of hearing how Jesus answered them. In the reading we had just read, a really significant question is asked and answered. Of all the commandments of the law, which one is the greatest? While this conversation between Jesus and a scribe is one of the most ones that we've probably heard about a fair bit in our reading of the Bible, we shouldn't rush past it and take it for granted. As Jesus tells us what is most important, we should be quick to listen and careful to live out what he says. The setting here in verse 28 sees Jesus being asked another question. The scribes were the experts in the law and Jesus. They seemed to be well educated in matters of the law, which intrigued this scribe. While we can't be sure of his motives, his question certainly seems less poisonous than those questions that have come before him. The question the scribe asks is a question that has been discussed and debated for years. God has given over 600 laws to his people, and there was a constant conversation about which law was the greatest. The story makes it clear that the scribe had an opinion, and that this question was likely his test of Jesus' belief. And Christ's answer was the commandment to love, Jesus answered, "The most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." The second is this, "You shall love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The question the scribe asked was a common question, and the answer Jesus gives was familiar to every Jew. Jesus answers by quoting the first part of the Shema. Please correct me if I've got that pronunciation wrong. A quotation from Deuteronomy that devout Jews would recite every morning and every evening. The Shema was familiar to the Jews, and these words of Jesus are familiar to us as well. And yet all of us have room to grow. All of us must continue to grow in our love for God and for one another. If this is the most important of God's commands, how diligent should we be to obey God's word? As Jesus quotes from the Shema, we are reminded not only of the command to love, but also of the one we are commanded to love. It's not a call to love a generic higher power or a God of our own imagination. This is a call to love the God of Israel, the God of Scriptures, the only true God. If we're going to love him well and faithfully, then we must know him. We must give ourselves to knowing who he is and what he has said. A simple definition of love is to delight in a treasure or something or someone. Jesus is calling us to love God with all that we are. Heart, soul, mind and strength each speak to different parts of us. But together, the emphasis is clear. We are to love God with our entire being. We must love him with our thoughts, emotions, actions, intellect and body. With our whole being. Desiring what he desires and living as he would have us to live. In 1 John chapter 5 verse 3 it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." The second greatest command is to love others as we love ourselves. The scriptures are clear that those who love God supremely also love others sincerely. 1 John chapter 4 verse 20 says, "If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." How well you keep the first command will determine how well you'll keep the second. And when you obey the second, you show that you are striving to keep the first command. This love must be genuine and shown to all. James chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. "If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it." The scribe who asked the question wasn't surprised by the answer he received from Jesus. In fact, he agreed. And then he said something that reveals his knowledge of the scriptures and his understanding of the heart of God. That to obey the command of love is greater than offerings and sacrifice. This man knew the law and may have gone a long way towards keeping the law. But the only way we can enter the kingdom of God is through Jesus Christ. The scribe was close, but he had not yet believed in the source of salvation. In a quiet regional town, an older woman named Sonia devoted every Sunday to preparing food for her church's community lunch. Each week, she would rise before dawn to get together fresh vegetables from her garden and start preparing the food for her lunch. Her presence at these lunches was expected and deeply valued, and Sonia herself believed it was her duty. It was more than just a routine. It was her personal connection to faith, and she took immense pride in serving her local church community. One Sunday, however, Sonia's steadfast routine was disrupted when her son, whom she rarely saw, appeared at her door. He looked weary, burdened by unseen troubles, and asked if he could talk with his mum. In that moment, Sonia felt a tug at her heart, a desire to sit with her son, to listen and to be a mother that he needed. Yet as she glanced at her package of food at the front door, she thought of her commitment to the church. She felt a weight of obligation. She was torn between her role in the community and her role as a mother. As she stood in her doorway, a profound realization dawned on her. She remembered Jesus' teaching that we read earlier, where he emphasized that the greatest commandments were to love God with all one's heart, soul, mind and strength, and to love one's neighbour as oneself. In that moment, Sonia understood that love does not always fit neatly into routines and to expectations. Right then, her neighbour was her son. Setting down her bags, she opened her arms and welcomed him in. That afternoon, mother and son spoke for hours. Her son shared hidden struggles, and Sonia's quiet presence offered him a love that was warm, attentive, and unconditional. Although she missed the community lunch, she found herself living in the very essence of faith in her very own living room. In choosing love over obligation, Sonia embodied the heart of Jesus' message to let love guide even when it leads us away from our familiar and regular duties. This story illustrates a choice many of us face: the pull between fulfilling experienced roles and responding to genuine needs of those closest to us. Jesus is asked by the scribe which commandment is the greatest, and his answer extracts the essence of faith. It is love, not ritual, that matters most. Much like the scribe seeking guidance in the complexity of religious laws, this mother faced a moment of clarity. She realised that true faith goes beyond routines. It calls us to love in the most humane or human intimate moments. This teaching also challenged us to look closely at our own lives. Are we serving out of love or merely out of habit and obligation? True faith is not confined to routine, but is revealed in the quiet choices to prioritise compassion over duty. Sonia's choice to stay with her son rather than attending her church's commitments reminds us that Jesus' command to love transcends mere adherence to duties. Like Sonia, we are called to let love guide our actions, even when it takes us in unexpected directions. Jesus' response to the scribe speaks directly to our own daily lives and the tension between obligations and authentic expressions of love. Many of us have seen a change in our understanding of religious practices or obligations. Where once they brought joy and meaning, they now feel burdensome. Perhaps attending church, fulfilling family commitments, or even organising social gatherings has become an obligation rather than an expression of genuine love. The words of Jesus course us back to a faith centred on love, inviting us to rediscover meaning and purpose in our actions by asking ourselves whether they are grounded in compassion. Sonia's choice to stay with her son also aligns with Jesus' teaching on justice, mercy and compassion. By recognising her son as her neighbour, her act reminds us that faith, at its core, is not bound by schedules, but is revealed in our willingness to show up for those who need us most. This perspective also calls into question the ways that we view religious duties. For Sonia, her commitment to the church lunch was a cherished ritual, yet her choice to stay with her son illustrates that faith is not about fulfilling obligations, but about responding to the real needs before us. It's a reminder that acts of service, worship or community involvement gain depth when rooted in love. Jesus' teaching invites us to infuse our rituals with meaning by focusing on love rather than obligation. Through this story that we've been talking about and had read out just a bit earlier, becomes a practical guide for us, urging us to let love, not duty, drive our choices. It's a call to let go of empty routines, checking our actions against the guiding principle of love and compassion. This invitation speaks to anyone who has ever struggled to balance social expectations, religious obligations, or personal responsibilities, offering clarity and focus amid life's many demands. This story mirrors Jesus' teaching to love God with all our heart and to love our neighbour as ourselves. This example reflects the same truth. Love goes beyond the surface of obligation, revealing itself in moments of genuine connection, compassion and presence. The Beatles may have had a different view on love with the song "All You Need Is Love," but one line in that song that is repeated over and over and over again, and I imagine it's probably going through your head now, love is all you need. Love is all you need. Something to think about as we go from here this morning and to live out what Jesus has instructed us each to do. May the heart of Jesus live in the hearts of everyone. Amen.